Truth News Network. From sniffles to martial law, lockdowns without constitutional support, and the press continues to whip up the froth of fear. How do you remain calm? With the truth. TNN, the Truth News Network. Here's Dan Newman.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to a brand new week. It's Monday, the 13th. Glad you are letting me start my week with you and your week, and it's going to be a good one. I know that it is. Well, now that it appears that the nation has turned the corner on coronavirus, let the blame game begin. After all, isn't everything that's happened in the last 3.5 years the direct result of Donald Trump? Wait a minute. I said everything that's happened. That can't be right. Let's restate that. Here's how I should have said it. After all, isn't everything that is bad that has happened in the last 3.5 years the direct result of Donald Trump? There's a big difference there. As a matter of fact, if you listen to anybody that even leans a bit left politically, not very much good has happened since 2016. Anything that happened that was good, obviously, was because of the carryover policies of the Barack Obama administration at the hands of Democrats in Congress, and because those Democrats beat back the attempts of the GOP to hurt the American people. It may not be quite like that, but if it's not an actual representation of how the political ride of this administration has gone, it's awfully close. Now, the left has another arrow in their quiver with which to attack Donald Trump, and of course, it's COVID-19, coronavirus. Let's talk about, for a moment, Tony Boy. Dr. Anthony Fauci, known to the world as the infectious disease expert of all experts. He knows it all when it comes to measles, whooping cough, and pandemics. No one has more street cred on the subjects than does Dr. Fauci. Who will ever forget that meeting in early January in which Dr. Fauci predicted the tragic results of COVID-19 that we've seen play out in our country in the last few months? Who would have thought that? Certainly, that day in January is going to go down in history. That was the day when Dr. Fauci gave the advice to the White House and Americans to eliminate social contact between all of us as best as possible, and to quickly close schools and churches, tighten down on human contact in every other gathering, and avoid human contact altogether. I'll never forget the doctor's press briefing in which he told us there was hope, that if we did everything he told us to do, we'd get through this with minimal losses. I think that was in mid-January, right? Well, surely CNN and MSNBC will replay those press conferences to illustrate just how the president ignored the specialist warnings. Well, here's the latest Dr. Tony Fauci headline. White House coronavirus expert Dr. Tony Fauci said Sunday, that's yesterday, lives could have been saved if the U.S. had been shut down earlier. Speaking on CNN, the immunologist said the U.S. could start reopening next month, but warned a second wave of the virus could still hit the country. Here's the rest of Sunday's CNN story about Dr. Fauci's interview. During the interview, Fauci revealed that the government had been advised to begin social distancing measures in February. President Trump announced plans to roll out self-isolating in mid-March. We looked at it from a pure health standpoint, Fauci said. We make a recommendation. Often the recommendation is taken. Sometimes it's not. But it is what it is. Fauci was then asked if lives could have been saved if stay-at-home measures had started in February rather than almost a month later. Obviously, he said, you could logically say that. If you had a process was ongoing and you started mitigation earlier, you could have saved lives, obviously, he replied. No one is going to deny that, but there was a lot of pushback about shutting things down back then. Could have, should have, would have. I'm going to rehash something with you. Here's a partial timeline of the U.S. government's direct actions at the beginning of coronavirus. Now follow the timeline with me. January 6th, the CDC and Prevention warns Americans to take precautions if traveling to China. That was on January 6th. January 7th, The CDC's Emergency Operations Center activated a COVID-19 incident management system used to direct operations, deliver resources, and share information. The next day, the 8th of January, the CDC issues an alert about the coronavirus, saying it is closely monitoring the disease and that there are no known U.S. cases. January 14th, the World Health Organization issued a statement about the first COVID-19 case outside of China, saying there is no clear evidence of human-to-human transmission. January 17th, the CDC holds its first COVID-19 telebriefing. Officials say that the agency will start screening passengers on direct flights connecting from Wuhan. However, they said they are not aware of measures regarding exit screening in Wuhan. January 21st, the first case of the coronavirus in the U.S. is confirmed in a patient near Seattle. January 29th, Trump announced the creation of the President's Coronavirus Task Force to lead the United States government response to the novel 2019 coronavirus and with keeping him apprised of developments. The White House said the task force was being led by Secretary of Health and Human Services Alex Azar. January 31st, the Trump administration suspended entry into the U.S. by foreign nationals who traveled to China within the last 14 days. That excluded Hong Kong and Macau. This does not apply to lawful U.S. residents and family members or spouses of U.S. residents or citizens. Azar declared a U.S. public health emergency for COVID-19. The declaration was retroactive to January 27th. On February 6th, the first U.S. citizen diagnosed with the coronavirus died in Wuhan, China. The U.S. Embassy in Beijing told us that. February 7th, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo announced a U.S. pledge of $100 million to help China and other countries combat the coronavirus. The pledge is also mentioned in an HHS press briefing with members of the Coronavirus Task Force. February 18th, the CDC issued an order requiring airlines to provide information about any passenger coming from China within 14 days of their entry into the U.S. February 24th, the White House asked Congress for $1.25 billion in new funding to help with coronavirus response. The administration also asked to move $535 million more from an Ebola preparedness account. February 26, Trump announced that Vice President Mike Pence will head the U.S. response to the coronavirus outbreak. February 29, the first U.S. death related to the coronavirus is announced after an individual in Washington state died from the illness. That same day, Trump and Pence announced additional travel restrictions involving Iran and an advisory against traveling to certain parts of Italy and South Korea. March 2nd, Trump and members of the Coronavirus Task Force met with pharmaceutical companies to discuss speeding up the development of a vaccine and treatments for the coronavirus. Trump claimed some of the companies said that a vaccine would be ready in 3 to 4 months. The director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, Dr. Anthony Fauci, later clarified that a year to a year and a half would be a more accurate timetable. Trump signs on the same day an $8.3 billion spending package to combat the coronavirus. This came a day after the Senate approved the House-passed legislation. Trump travels to CDC headquarters in Atlanta and at one point says he wouldn't generally be inclined to cancel travel and social gatherings. This timeline was produced by a news source that's almost exclusively anti-Trump in all of its stories. Therefore, it came as no surprise they did not mention one very important dig at the president in their timeline. Where is the day in which Dr. Fauci recommended to the president or any other member of the task force that we needed to begin social distancing and he was rebuffed by the president? What day did that happen? In hindsight, we probably could have had fewer U.S. cases and subsequent deaths if we had much more information. And if we had that information from the experts at the time, President Trump would have announced the necessity for social distancing. And if he had all that information along with Dr. Fauci's recommendation and did not push for social distancing, he certainly should have. With Dr. Fauci's CNN interview comment that, quote, "we certainly could have saved lives if we began social distancing sooner," could have been true. In retrospect, that social distancing policy should have been given to the general public. We'll never know factually, but if the social distancing policy would have been better explained along with its grave importance to the American people, it probably would have saved more of our citizens from coronavirus death. So now we're playing the blame game. Stop right now. Take a moment and do this exact Google search. Write it down. The first announcement promoting social distancing in coronavirus pandemic. I'll repeat that. Google this. The first announcement promoting social distancing in coronavirus pandemic. Well, when I did my Google search and I got through about 6 or 7 pages of search topics, the earliest I can find is by Dr. Fauci in a March 20th interview on PBS. In that interview, he did not make a demonstrative statement about social distancing or even recommending any type of strict guidelines. He was asked what his fear about the virus and its impact on Americans would be, and he replied, "I'm worried that too many people will not adhere to staying away from big groups, going to restaurants and bars, and putting themselves and other Americans in harm's way." There was nothing in that interview, nor was there ever any indication to the public by Dr. Fauci or any other member of the task force, for that matter, that social distancing was a necessity to stop its spread. Until Sunday, April 12th, Dr. Fauci deflected any accountability for there being no earlier warning to others in government. Without saying it, he meant the president. And the Sunday news media have taken stories about that to the moon. It started yesterday. It's been amazing, April the 12th. What about the experts? Remember when the president ordered the travel ban on January 31st for anyone coming to the U.S. from China? Remember what Senator Chuck Schumer, Democrat of New York, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi from California both said about it? Both called it unnecessary, political, rash, racist, xenophobic, and unconstitutional. Experts have repeatedly stated that travel ban probably saved the lives of tens of thousands of Americans who would have been exposed with additional entries from China of those carrying the virus. Listen to this number I'm going to tell you. 400,000 travelers from China entered the U.S. in the 90 days just before the travel ban. 400,000. It certainly made a difference. Yet for that sensible decision by the president, in defiance of the World Health Organization, I might add, Mr. Trump was criticized by Democrats such as Joe Biden as xenophobic and by China as racist. This is no time for Donald Trump's record of hysteria and xenophobia, hysterical xenophobia and fear-mongering, said Joe Biden the day after the travel restrictions were imposed. CNN ran a story warning the U.S. coronavirus travel ban could backfire and have the effect of stigmatizing countries and ethnicities. The Chinese Communist Party's official mouthpiece, The People's Daily, called the ban racist. WHO Director General warned it would increase fear and stigma with little public health benefit. What it did, folks, was stop thousands from being exposed. Most Americans applaud the president's early actions, but those early actions initiated by Mr. Trump and others in the administration are rarely mentioned in today's media. They no longer just ignore the good things and great results and accomplishments by this administration. They make up stories that feed the narrative of a now dwindling group of expert politicians and news journalists. Has anyone thought this through? January 15th, House Democrats delivered 2 articles of impeachment to the United States Senate. Remember that? Democrats knew the Republican-controlled Senate would not have enough votes to convict the president. But that didn't deter House Speaker Nancy Pelosi from wasting government time, resources, and attention for months in a doomed effort to remove Donald Trump from the White House. 6 days later, on January 21st, the first known case of novel coronavirus, or the Wuhan virus, was reported in the United States. There was a little matter of those impeachment articles being handed over to the Senate for an impeachment trial. By the way, Remember, Pelosi sat on those. She sat on the articles of impeachment passed by the House for 2 weeks. How much did you hear from Democrat leaders during that time regarding their coronavirus concerns? Think about it. Nothing. But we heard a lot about impeachment, didn't we? Non-stop. Come to think of it, what we have heard from Democrat leaders when they continuously attack the president for not doing enough soon enough that the president should be doing? Nothing. It's not about leadership on the left, folks. It's about the politicization of what they see as one more chance, one more shot to impeach Donald Trump, either literally or figuratively. While the left predictably gathers steam to condemn Trump for his handling of the coronavirus pandemic, congressional Democrats have escaped any accountability for ignoring the early stages of the outbreak. Always, when things are not looking like they're going to go their way or they're going to be framed to look bad, those Democrat leaders, you know what they do? They start pointing fingers and blaming the other side. Anytime you see them very loudly blaming the other side about anything, especially using their arm, the liberal media, you can bet they're guilty of what they're pointing fingers and blaming for. And with no sense of irony, the very journalists and pundits who cheered impeachment are the same folks now blasting the president for not doing enough to stop the spread of COVID-19. Some things never change in Washington. The greatest of those things is that Democrats attack every person in any position in life who refuses to bow at their altar of identity politics. How do you think that's going to work out for them in November? Wow. Another week of Donald Trump having to defend everything he does, a lot of things that he didn't do that he's accused of, and explaining why things happen the way they do and when they did, rather than working together as Americans. Where's all that stuff about we're not going to be Democrat, we're not going to be Republican, we're going to be Americans? We have to pull together, reach across the aisle, be brothers and sisters in humanity, be Americans and nothing more, and find the fix for coronavirus. Where is all of that? It's just gone down the tubes. Folks, it's never about anything other than politics and how to get more power and maintain the power that they have. That's the left. Let me just say something. There is no longer a moderate Democrat Party. If you're a Democrat, you're far left. And if you're not far left, you're really not a Democrat. If you look at everything that we're dealing with right now, everything that we've been going through since 2014, 2015, everything is extreme from the left. Everything. Look at the party. Look at who's running the party. It's not Nancy Pelosi. She's taking her information and her guidance from that far left segment. I guess we could say there's left and then there's far left. But moderate always means there's some identity with people on the left and some identity with people on the right. The Democrat Party has no identity with anybody that's not leftist, that's not extreme left, or is not liberal. That's an explanation for what we're dealing with and what we're going through. Hey, listen, I'm sure you got this story and podcast very early on Monday morning. I'm glad you came. Don't forget about our live broadcast at 9 from 9 to 11 Central Time, truthnewsnet.org. There's a button. If you're on your computer, a blue button to the far right of the top column. Click on that at 9 o'clock. It'll take you right to the broadcast. Absolutely no charge. If you're on an iPhone, you look for the menu word to the right up at the top. When you click on the drop-down menu, there is a little notice that says, Listen Live. Join us. Join us at 9 o'clock. We're going to talk about these things and a whole lot more. A lot of things happen during the weekend that you probably don't know about. It's really getting nuts out there. I didn't think it could get nutty or crazier, but it is. We'll see you at 9 o'clock, and you can call in free. toll free and talk to us and give us your thoughts and ideas and ask questions too. Again, that's at truthnewsnet.org. Listen live. We'll see you then. Have a great day, and so long, everybody.
When you're fed up with the nagging heartburn of today's lies, how do you spell relief? TNN.